kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have, as usual, a title for the word this evening, and we're calling our teaching Rest to Your Soul and Mind. Rest to Your Soul and Mind. You know, one of the biggest problems to a Christian is unrest and striving. This can be a huge problem to many of us. And in this world that we live now, we find that there is very little rest. There is a lot of striving, and everybody is doing their own thing, trying to dream their dreams, reach their goals, and so on. And of course, when we come to the Lord, we find that God begins to break all of that down. He breaks down all of these ambitions, all this striving, dreams, fantasies, promises that the world gives, and so on. We know, because we're all coming out from it. And why is it that this is such a big deliverance for the Christian? Because that is the spirit of this age. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that he starts to work with us where we have to have this rest to our soul and mind. We know that he promises this, of course, through the new birth, but to actually walk in this and to understand it, it takes many years. Now, the reason I'm calling this teaching today, Rest to Your Soul and Mind, is because this is absolutely paramount to our faith. You see, we cannot really get that faith all the while we're striving, all the while we're in a turmoil, all the while we're in peace with God one moment and then we're not the next. In other words, we're up and down. These are not the conditions in which you can grow strong in the faith. And the enemy is a master. He knows how to disrupt us. He knows how to try and rob us of our peace or our surroundings or circumstances. He tries in every way to buffet us. And much of the attack of the enemy is because he hates Christians believing and embracing the promises of God's word. Because our believing in the promises of God's word is what defeats him, is what pushes him back. And this is why he works in the way that he does. And unfortunately, this is something that seems to plague the churches today with this unrest. Many lovely people who love Jesus, but their soul, their mind is not at peace as it should be. And we have to find out what God is saying and why this is happening. Now, of course, we all go through various trials and tribulations, and maybe for a while we are battling. But overall, our walk and our consecration and our relationship with God should be that we are experiencing that peace that rest to our soul and mind. That is one of the reasons that Christ gave his life for us. We will look at this in the scriptures later on. But the enemy always wants to play on our emotions. That is often what he's trying to target, because he knows that we are emotional beings, and God has placed, he's put those emotions there in us. But we find that when we become believers, baptized in the Spirit and everything, God has to start to work on these emotions so that we keep these emotions under control. Because emotions can run riot. And we see this in the world. We see it in society. We see it with young people. You have it in your families. You can have it with your children, the husband, the wife. We can all lose it. And when we lose it, we become very emotional. And the emotions can cause us to sin badly with our tongues or actions or whatever it is. And we find then that we repent, and in that repentance, Lord, help me not to lose it. This, of course, is where anger comes. And the reason that I'm stressing this is because when we lose it emotionally and we sin through our emotions, it's often a walking out, or it's a healing that's needed in relationships, or whatever it is. And these are hindrances that we don't need, because we go through enough as it is, as overcomers, without the enemy working on this and making it even more of a burden. And I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 28. I want us just to look at verses 9 to 13, because Isaiah here is dealing with a situation that is going on with Israel and Ephraim. And Ephraim, as we know, they originally came from Egypt. And there are things that are going wrong here in Israel. Like often, you know, they're falling into sin. But the sin that's happening here is alcohol. They're getting drunk. They're starting to get a bit fed up. They're fed up with Isaiah trying to correct them and admonish them. And they're deciding to drown their sorrows in booze, you know. And sometimes we've felt like that, haven't we? Sometimes, you know, let me just have a few drinks and have a bit of peace or whatever it is. But of course, we know that that isn't the answer. And Isaiah takes it up in verse 9 of Isaiah 28. And here he says, "Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you must cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught." He's dealing with a problem here. They're not experiencing that rest that they should have with God. in relationship. You cannot have a relationship with anyone if there's unrest, if there's striving. And God knows, because he saved us for relationship, and in that relationship he is working so that there is peace and rest and harmony in that relationship. Because Isaiah reveals the hindrance, otherwise we cannot grow in the faith. We cannot fully hear the faith. Because as we know in Hebrews 11:6, he says that without faith it is impossible to please God. In other words, it is sin. And so we have to take our faith, how we hear, very, very seriously. And in this case here, which Isaiah is dealing with, they're not able to hear properly because they're drunk. They've got the wrong spirit in this situation. So he says here, whom will he teach knowledge? Because that's what we need. We need the knowledge of God. We need to understand his ways, what he's saying. And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. So we know that when we become Christians, we have the milk of the word. We need that spiritual mother's milk from the breast. We all have to start with that. And this is what he's pointing out to them. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here and there a little and so on. So in other words, our learning is building blocks. And that is how God works with us. That's how education works. You work from building blocks. You work from one plateau to another, to another. That is how you learn. And so at each stage, or what age you are, you will have a certain curriculum that is appropriately designed for that age. This is what education does, whether it be in maths or English, science or whatever it is. For that age, there's a certain degree of learning that is applicable for that age. So this is what it's fundamentally meaning here, how we learn. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. And I believe that that speaks of what happened, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecostal experience, the speaking in tongues and so on, which I believe that that refers to here. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. So with this teaching, with the word, God brings us into this rest. This rest is essential because we get weary. And in this case with Israel, they are sinning, particularly the men, the eldership, the priesthood, the teachers, they're drinking, they're sinning. And he says, you need to come back, you need to rest. Because what you are doing will not give you that rest. And that is, of course, exactly what the enemy tries to do. He tries to trick us into other things, thinking that we will get rest. But we don't. The only rest that can come is relationship with God. And coming to this word, reading this word, hearing this word, prayer in the Spirit, speaking in the understanding, speaking in the spirit, because it brings that rest to your soul, your mind, your heart. And he says, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They wouldn't hear. And of course, this was always the problem with the children of Israel. They were stiff-necked. They wouldn't hear. Even though God spoke to them all those years, they saw miracles that no other nation on the earth had ever seen or experienced or ever has done even today. Only you have I loved out of all nations, God says. So it is amazing, isn't it, how they still didn't hear. And because they didn't hear, they were not entering into that rest. Rest for the soul and the mind. You see, this is very important for us to understand this. And this line upon line, precept upon precept, is in many ways where they were also mocking God. They were fed up with God. They were fed up with the word. They were fed up with listening to it. But he has to bring them back. He has to remind them that the word of God is going to save them. The word of God is their spiritual food and so on. And we have to be reminded of this as well. Because he's showing them that they're immature. They have need of growing up. And this is one of the tragedies in a lot of Christendom today. We have so many of our brothers and sisters who love the Lord, but they're not maturing. They're not growing in the faith because they are not challenged in the pulpit by some of the teachers. They're not being taught to believe the promises of God and to live by these promises. And that these promises are true today as they were when they were written. God doesn't change, the same yesterday, today and forever. And so as a result, it keeps this immaturity. And immaturity will always have a problem entering into this rest for the soul and the mind. One of the characteristics of children is they have a bundle of energy and they don't want to rest. And they can't understand why adults want to have periods of rest. Oh, come on, let's go out, you know, and so on. They don't understand that because they have all that energy to burn. And it's the same spiritually with us. We have to learn to rest in soul and mind with God, whatever the situation, whatever we're going through. Let's remind ourselves again what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. Verse 11, 28, 29 of Matthew. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as I've preached on this many times before, it's one simple word in verse 28 and it says, come. And we don't come when he's calling. Until it's late, until we're burnt out, until we have tried in our own flesh or whatever it is. And in the end, we surrender, we raise our hands and what is the Lord saying still? Are you going to come? Are you going to come to me? Because you're laboring, you're heavy, your mind is in a turmoil. And he says, because I will give you rest. Because faith to believe can only operate and work when we have rest. And this is why sometimes your prayers are not getting answered. And this is why you're not receiving through the promises of God's word is because there's not that rest. Faith can only be planted in the heart when there is rest. It cannot be planted in the heart when there's turmoil, when there's fear, when there's anxiety. And no, this is why the enemy tries to attack the mind. He's not stupid, because he fears when the anointed word is taught to us that God is going to plant seed into our hearts. The parable of the sower, which I'm always mentioning, one of the most important parables Jesus gave. He shows clearly how important the word is to be planted into the heart. And so he'll try every trick of the book to stop the word from penetrating into our hearts, that we may be saved. But not only that, that we might be blessed and that we might experience these promises. Because they are the same today. They haven't changed. God wants us to take limits off our faith now, to believe. But to do this, we have to allow him to work this consecration in our lives. He has to separate us from this world and the spirit of this age. And we wrestle with that at times. Well, why can't I have a good time? The world is. Why can't I join them? Because they will hinder your faith. That's why. And God knows this in his infinite wisdom. And when we start going back into the world, one of the clear signs that starts to happen is your soul and your mind starts to lose that peace. And that is exactly what he wants. But you see, this rest is also important for us physically. You cannot burn the candle at both ends. You'll burn out. And we've all tried it. And so it is important that we actually are physically at rest, which helps our physical body. Because if the mind is at peace with God, then the body will be at peace. But God has to work it first in the heart. Did you know that medically they have found that the heart communicates to the brain much more than the brain communicates to the heart? Isn't that amazing? Now let's take that over to the spiritual. It is in the heart we believe. It is in the heart, that area, that core, where God is, where he resides, where we dwell and fellowship with him. So there it is. That has to be right. And so when the heart is right, then that will minister to the mind. And then you will experience the mind of Christ, and you will be able to deal with those fiery darts, those areas of unbelief where he tries to attack. Or he tries to tell us what God can't do today. Oh, he's very vocal on that. So this rest physically is absolutely essential for us also mentally. We know that when God created, we're told that on the seventh day he rested. Now, that tells us something, even with Almighty God. In all that he created, spoke the world into being, created man, the animals, and everything. And he looked back, and on that seventh day, he had to rest in order to look back to see what he had created. And he was well pleased with what he saw. If you don't rest, how are you going to be able to see what God is doing? How are you going to appreciate what he's doing in your life? You can't if you're busy all the time, or you're restless, or up and down. You can't understand, you can't appreciate what God is doing. Because when you appreciate what God's doing, and when God rested on the seventh day to see what he had done, he then saw what he had done. And so we likewise, when we see what God has done, this is how we praise him. We thank him. We glorify him, which is essential to our walk with God. It's essential to our prayers being answered and our believing in the word of God. Praise is very powerful, but you cannot praise properly. You cannot be appreciative properly if you're striving. You're not at peace. It just becomes a lip service. And this was, of course, was what was happening. This was what God, Isaiah was addressing with Israel. He was fundamentally saying, it's all lip service because you're drunk. That's why we have to enter into this rest by faith. Let's remind ourselves again in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So this is important. Have we come short of this? Is God trying to get your attention in this area? For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And you cannot mix faith with what you hear if you are not at rest and peace with God. You can't. And this will tell you, it's an indication why the prayers are not being answered, why things are not happening in your life as they should be. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it. There we are. So some must still enter it. Israel didn't enter that rest. They were stubborn, stiff-necked. They perished in the wilderness. But he says there are still some that must enter into this rest. That's you and me, brothers and sisters, which we do now by faith. We no longer are bound by the law of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is every day now for the Christian. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And there's the problem. Again, he designated a certain day, saying in David today, after such a long time, as it has been said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So there we are. We have to be very careful when we hear the word of God and it's preached to us under the anointing that we do not harden our hearts, even if it has our name and address on it. Whom God loves, he admonishes, he rebukes, he encourages, he exhorts, and so on. Because that is a sign our Father loves us. So there we are. We have to take heed to these things, these warnings. These warnings is not to harden the heart. And a heart that is hardening cannot believe, cannot experience that rest. Their soul and mind is not at rest. They are restless. In other words, they become their own enemy, their own worst enemy. Sometimes the word of God is very challenging, very hard to swallow. But God knows what he's doing. And he knows that the word of God is such healing and deliverance to us. That's the whole point. Now, it's interesting that this word to harden in the Greek, it actually means to be obstinate. It's to be, you're stubborn. That's what he's really actually referring to. You're just stubborn, obstinate. You just don't want to know. You don't want to hear. And, you know, that again was Israel's problem. This is what Isaiah was dealing with back in Isaiah 28. They were stubborn, obstinate. They'd had enough. They wanted to turn to drink and have a break. And we all of us have to be on our guard with that, because at times we're tempted to do that. What does it say in Romans chapter 9? Romans 9 and verse 18. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. And so there you are. That's a similar word again there that's used also in Hebrews verse 7 of chapter 4. So God will harden a heart. And that is fearful when the Lord does that, because God can allow it. And the scriptures tell us that in the last days, which we're in now, we're very near to the coming of the Lord. It says that he will harden their hearts because he will allow them a strong delusion. They will believe a lie because the nations are becoming pagan. They no longer retain God in their minds, their hearts. They have more faith now in technology and so on. But God says, I'll let them believe a lie. They can have what they want. They can deceive themselves. Here it is again. Because they are obstinate. They are stubborn. They don't want God. They don't want to retain God in their mind and thinking anymore. Romans chapter 1 speaks of that. And that's what's happening. That's what we're seeing today. And the church is not exempt from that. That can carry over into the church. And so it's absolutely paramount that we understand that our being, we must have that rest to our soul and mind. And we've got to guard that. Whatever the circumstances, whatever's happening, whatever news or whatever it will be, we mustn't let it disturb us. Because it doesn't take God by surprise, even though it might do with us. And God isn't going to allow anything to happen to us or whatever experience we go through unless it is for a reason and a purpose. And it will always be to bring us closer to him and whatever the situation or circumstances is, because he's going to work with your soul and your mind. And God can sometimes allow situations that would seem to be completely the opposite to try and work peace to my soul and mind. But that's the ways of God. He says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. How God brings us into that relationship with him, you cannot work out in a million years. But he knows exactly. That's why I say so often, as I close now with this, our trials and tribulations and tests that we go through are tailor-made for us. And that's why each of us go through different, various trials. And they are for the purpose to maintain that rest to our soul and mind. For the very purpose that as faith comes by hearing the word, Romans 10:17, that as we hear this word, so that this word becomes alive to us. We experience the blessings of this word, not when we get to heaven, already in this life, in this world. That is why your life is a miraculous life. Your life is not like the world. Your life is a world where you are touched by Almighty God. It is supernatural what happens in your life. How he works, how he speaks, how he leads you and directs you and so on. The world out there doesn't know that. They're not even aware when God pours rain on the world, because he says he pours rain on the just and the unjust. The unjust don't appreciate it. They don't understand it. And yet he still does it. That is his love, his mercy. But you've had your eyes and ears and heart open to how he blesses and will bless. But you see, God isn't going to bless you always so that for a while your soul and mind is going to be at peace. Because he knows too well that when he blesses us, the emotions are under control. That is why God sometimes withholds for a season. You may be believing, you may have received it by faith. Yes, you have it by faith, but it's not manifested yet. And the reason it is not manifested, because your emotions are not dealt with yet. Your emotions will take over and God will not get the glory. This is why he's bringing everything down into order in our lives. This is why he disciplines us like he does. And he's not saying that emotions are wrong. He's simply saying they're not to get out of control. And he's still working with all of us with that in our area, in areas of our life. But mark my words, God will be faithful and you will receive the blessings of this word and your faith, because your soul, your mind, your very being is at peace and relationship with him. That unbroken fellowship 24/7, that is what he's working. You cannot be in fellowship one minute and out of fellowship the next, which sadly a lot of Christians are, and we were. We have to become stable, resolute, and he's working that. And that's why we're maturing and growing up into sonship, into heirs of Christ, where we're no longer tossed around to and fro every time the devil growls or whatever it is. No. We're in that place. We're in that secret place. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we remain, we stay there. In whatever conditions, whether it's be blessings or whether it's storms or earthquakes or whatever it would be, we remain resolute there in fellowship with him. And then you will find that all your prayers are answered and will be answered. Your steps of faith will be blessed. and you will be a blessing. And you will be a blessing to others, and God can and will mightily use you. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Rest to your soul and mind. And don't make that mistake that the children of Israel did. But just let the Holy Spirit do this work in your heart, in your life, and he'll do it, because it's not by might nor by power, by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for helping and encouraging us. Thank you for highlighting why at times it appears that maybe things haven't worked out as we thought. You never leave us in suspense. You never leave us in darkness. But you will always go to the root of a problem or a situation so that we may see and get it right. And thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for our fellowship. Lord, be with my brothers and sisters. Bless them this week. Be with them. Preserve and keep them till we come again in fellowship. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, our Father.